हम हम अभिज्ञा भूषजो कलाद्वयम् निरन्यमयम् शाक्षेषम् कविता कोशम् वरा धरम् कोराशि विलक्ष विवक्ष धरमम् दारावर बना गुरु बना माला श्री अमृत मणि दरादि विपलक्षितम् स्फुट केरना प्रवार मुक्त कुंडल तत्र गति सुखा हरे केयोर मुकुरादि अंग भूषण विदूषितम् श्री सदस्य विहातको धन गोतम धनम उपला या शब्दो मनम हराई वा नता शीर्षना पच्चु वैपुर अता देव तेरावतन हा सर्वे काम किम अब अभि अभिष्टिता to manifest himself with four arms. Hiranmayam, very bright. Purusha Vishesham, the topmost of all living beings, Purushottam. Kapisha, Hosheya, Ambara, Param. Wearing a yellow silk garment. Vorasi, on the chest. Vilasha, beautiful. Shivaksha, oh Shivaksha. Lalamam, possessing the mouth. Varvara, Vayakvaksha, Vanarupa, lotus flower, Vanamala. Towers of forest flowers. Achuri, this Amritamani, the Koshtava gem. Tata Adivi, by cloud and other symbols. Upalakshitam, synchronized. Utakirana, radiant. Prabhara, excellent. Mukut. Helmet, kundala, earrings, tataka, bracelets, patishutra, girdle, hara, necklace, keyuram, armlets, nukut, hand bells, adi, and so on. Anga, of the body, bhushana, with ornaments. Vidushitam, decorated, Vikpik, the priests, Sadasya, associates, Dravataya, and King Nabi. Adana, four persons, Eva, life, Uttamadaram, a great treasure, Upalabhya, having achieved. Sarpahu Manam, with great regard. Ahmanena, with ingredients for worship. Avanata, bent. Shirshana, on their heads. Upatashtu, worship. Translation of by divine grace, Vaisharanatha in the Bhagavad Gita. Lord Vishnu did for King Nabi with four arms. He was very bright and he appeared to be the best of all personalities. Around the lower portion of his body, he wore a yellow silken garment. On his chest was the mark of Shivaksha, which always displays beauty. He carried conch shell, lotus flower, disc and club, and he wore a bow of the forest flowers. and the Gustava Gem. He was beautifully decorated. The helmet, earrings, bangles, belt, pearl necklace, armlets, ankle belts, and other bodily ornaments, bedecked with radiant jewels. Seeing the Lord present before them, King Nabi and his priests and associates felt just like poor people who have suddenly attained great riches. They received the Lord and respectfully bent their heads and offered him things in worship. So here we took the Lord is appearing now before they performed the sacrifice. The Lord is appearing from the sacrificial fire in the form of Lord Vishnu, Devaparusha. And here is a description of the Lord. Someone's saying me, making a book on Navadita Mahatmya, comic book, children's book, like a comic book. And the story was saying that the artist is actually not a devotee. Why can't we ask the, that's always that's for the Aradori, because they said he painted the picture with a red dory. Why is yellow? Everything is yellow. It's a complete God. Why can't it change? Why is it yellow all the time? I think, well, that's very good from the scriptures. We always hear these definitions of God. And always it's the same. He wears the same things. We struggle hard to keep up with fashion. Krishna doesn't have to do that. It's always beautiful for all times. So it's like his trademark. Of course his clothes, like his yellow dot, everything is personality. So it's always ever fresh and in the mood of service to Krishna. So it never goes out of fashion. And the symbols, he has his symbols, the conch. The conch shell and the lotus flower the Lord uses for blessing his devotees. And the chakra and the gada, that is for the chastising the demons. And he has Shivatsa. Shivatsa is a white curl. It's a white, like a lock of hair on his chest. And it represents Lakshmiji, because her place is on the chest of her husband, but she takes the position to come down to his lotus feet and serve him. So that Shivatsa is a mark representing Lakshmiji, how she's always on his chest. So these are some of the distinguishing features of the Supreme Personality of Godhead from other personalities of Godhead in Vaikuntha also. They all have four arms. When you get there, you can have four arms. You get the same color as the Lord, Swarup Siddhi. And but the distinguishing feature is that no one else has this characteristic of the Srivatsa, specifically the Srivatsa. Otherwise, people are quite similar. You're quite similar to God in Vaikuntha. You get a forearm form. And also the Kastava Mani. Kastava Mani is one of his... his special characteristics that differ him from the other Vaikuntha Vasis. Kastava Muni is said to be, I heard one description, it's like greeny color, it's like a jade. You know the stone jade? Like green, it has a calf engraved on it. And Krishna wears it on his heart. This is the, actually it's the Kama Denu. This calf is Kama Denu. So, whatever you, when you're approaching the Lord, because Kamadenu is there, whatever you want, he can
supply, Kamadhenu can supply, can cow can give you anything you want. So when you approach the Lord and speak to him from your heart, he takes that in his heart, and Kamadhenu is, so he understands the desire, so then he can fulfill the different desires of his devotees. And there was another, there's another description of that. How that, that Supreme Personality of God, that he is one, and yet he's appearing to so many different people as different. We get the example of the sun in the sky, and you have many pots of water, and you get the reflection of the sun, and so he is one. And so many people are approaching that one Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everybody's approaching him with their different prayers and things like that. But some approach him as Ramchandra, some will approach him as the Supreme Lord Vishnu, some will approach him as whatever their worshipful deity is. They'll approach him, but he is one. Now how can it be one? We're praying to Krishna as Krishna Bhaktas, and the Ram, they're all praying to the Lord as Ram. He says he is one person. How he can be Ram and Krishna and Mahaprabhu and all the different avatars? Same with how he can be one, and everybody's worshipping that same one, but they're all worshipping in different forms. So this was the description of the Kustava Mani. It illuminates, and it spreads its jyoti, its rays, omnipotent rays come from that. And the devotee who sees the Lord on that particular ray, he sees the Lord of his heart, he sees Lord Ram. Another devotee next to him, he's on a different ray, he sees his ray as Vishnu. Another devotee is... particle. But my position and your position and your position, it's all slightly different. We're seeing from a different, through a different sun ray, right? According to where we are situated. But we all see the one sun, but we see it through different sun rays. So similar like that, everybody's worshipping God in his various forms, but they're seeing through that particular ray that emanates from the Kustava Mani. And this way he can, God is one, but you can, all the whole world is worshipping him. The whole universe, millions of universes, in different forms, but he is that same one. This is the manifestation of the potency of his Kustava Mani. And it's interesting that the... he's appearing in these clothes, even when he appears as a newborn child before Devaki and Vasudeva. Yet, you read the description, he's got the same jewels on. And he's born, he's just come from the mother's womb. Got all these beautiful jewels. Which baby is born like that? When the baby, ordinary baby is born, you know, he's covered in mucus and blood and everything like that. And they, Prabhupada, they dip in a bucket of disinfectant and wash him. When Krishna appears, beautiful ornaments, hair, everything is perfect and complete. There was no need for the dipping me in a bucket of disinfectant. He's always pure. But he had the same clothes on when he was a baby as he's a Krishnamurti. Purport. It's distinctly mentioned here that the Supreme Personality of Godhead did not appear as an ordinary human being. He appeared before King Nabi and his associates as the best of all personalities, Purushottama. It's stated in the Vedas, Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitanam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is also a living being, but he is the supreme living being. So this is the difference. Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitanam is a verse Prabhupada quotes all the time throughout his books. And he gives the explanation. The Lord is the supreme living being. That is why we are living, because we are emanations from him. So we are alive. The jiva is living because we are a part and parcel of Krishna. So the Lord is eternal. We are also eternal. He is cognizant of everything. We are also cognizant. That is why the jiva actually emanates from the chit potency, the sambit potency. This is where the jiva is emanating from, because we are conscious. Everybody knows it. We're conscious of something. So we are conscious. The living entity by nature is conscious because it's an expansion of the sambit potency, the chit potency. So we are conscious, and the Lord is full of ananda. We also satchit ananda. We also have those same quality. So then what is the difference? The Lord is living being, we are living beings. And what is the difference? We're all living, we're all. So here it says, no, they're actually the same, but the big difference is that one, Nityo Nityanams, you got one and a plural here. That one, he maintains all the other nityas. We are nitya, but we can't claim that we are maintaining all the other nityas. That is Krishna's claim. He can maintain everyone. And certainly the jiva, he cannot maintain the whole universe. And the liberated souls also cannot maintain the universe because they don't touch the material universe. So this is the position of the Supreme Lord. He is maintaining, all the others are being maintained by him. And nobody can claim that they can be the maintainer of everyone. So this is the distinction here that's given, very nice description of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the Bhagavad Gita, 7:7, Lord Krishna himself says, Mataha paratat ram nanyat kinchirasti dananjaya. O conqueror of wealth, Arjuna, there is no truth superior to me. Prabhupada says that everyone is searching after the absolute truth. This is the philosophical way of life. From time immemorial, what is the absolute truth? Today, they're still asking that question, searching for truth. The devotees have the answer, no one else has the answer. And of all those philosophers, scientists, actually scientists are trying to find the absolute truth. What is the source of everything? Actually, this is what science is about. If we find the source of everything, we'll be very happy. So they're trying whole life, spending millions of dollars. The yogis, the jnanis, they're trying for billions of lifetimes, trying to define. They don't understand. Krishna says in one verse, in one line, what is the absolute truth? Yeah, mataha nanyat kinchidasti dananjaya. There is no truth superior to me. The devotee does, his research is done. Krishna gives What is the absolute truth? But you have many truths in this world. Many different levels of truth. But what is the absolute truth? The absolute truth is that truth that there is no truth superior to. So when you get to that truth, there's nothing superior than that is the absolute truth. So Krishna says, there is no truth superior to me. I'm the absolute truth. All your research is done. You don't have to study. You don't have to become a yogi, jnani, for thousands and thousands of births. You don't have to become a big scientist, spend millions of dollars studying, trying to find out. You just accept Krishna's words in one line. There is no truth superior. It is the absolute truth. So we can say, yes, we know the absolute truth, Krishna. Research is finished. No one is more attractive or more authoritative than Lord Krishna. This is one of the qualities of Krishna. No one is more authoritative. It says in the 10th canto, summary of Lord Krishna's pastimes, I believe it's there. Whatever Krishna says is perfectly right, is perfectly legal, is perfectly in order. Whatever Krishna says and whatever he does is absolutely perfect, because he is the creator of right, what's good, what's bad, what's right, what's wrong. So whatever he does and says, that's absolutely perfect. From our angle of vision, we have rights and wrongs, good and bad. But whatever Krishna does is absolute. So whatever he does is completely lawful. And not only is it completely lawful, no one can change it. We can't do that. We have many ideas and programs and plans. But they get changed. People will change. Someone else doesn't like my program, okay? I'll change you. Our programs don't last. They'd be changed. But Krishna's program, whatever he says, perfectly lawful, and no one can change it, it's forever. But this is Krishna's authority. Nobody can defy the authority of Krishna. And no one is more attractive than Krishna. Krishna is so attractive that his body is so attractive that his effulgence, just his effulgence coming from his attractive body, is so attractive that the jnanis, they're prepared to commit suicide to understand that. That's a big thing. To give up your identity, to give up your existence to understand someone else's effulgence. That's attractive. Nobody likes to give up their identity. But that's their thing. I sacrifice my identity to understand Krishna's effulgence, to merge into Krishna's effulgence. That's how attractive the effulgence is. People are prepared to give up their existence for it. Now what to speak of Krishna's beautiful body, his smiling, glancing, activities, words, and everything. How attractive that is. It's the meaning of Krishna. Prabhupada said the perfect name of God, Krishna, all attractive. Krishna has unlimited names. Bhata Sarati, the chariot driver of Arjuna. So many names. Jashoda, Nandana. But of all the names, Krishna is the best. Because Krishna means all attractive. So, Jashoda Nanda means Krishna and Jashoda. She is attracted to Krishna. So there, all the names of Krishna means attraction. So Krishna, it means Jashoda Nandana. Parthasarathi, he is attracted. Bhishma Dev was very, very much attracted by that form of Parthasarathi of Krishna. Very much attracted. The worshipful object. So he has a name, Parthasarathi, but he is Krishna because he's so attractive. So all the names of Krishna he has and different relationships, he's all attractive to someone or another. So this is the name Krishna is the best name, because it encompasses all the other different names of Krishna. All attractive. There's one name that encompasses all of it. No one is more attractive, more authority than Lord Krishna. That is one of the differences between God and ordinary living beings. According to the description of the transcendental body of Lord Vishnu, the Lord can easily be distinguished from all other living beings. Consequently, Maharaj Navi and the priests and his associates all offered the Lord obeisances and began to worship him with various things. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 6:22, Yam Ladva Chaparam Labham Manyati Nadir Kam Tata. That is, upon gaining this, one thinks there is no greater gain. When one realizes God and sees the Lord face to face, one certainly thinks that he has gained the best of all things. So this Bhagavad Gita 6:22, Krishna is talking about the process of yoga. And then the yogi goes into samadhi, the different processes of yogic realization. Because all of his senses have stopped, all his functions finished. That was the process of the withdrawing all the senses, and the senses are not functioning, the mind's not functioning, but he's just absorbed, he's totally absorbed in his meditation, but nothing's functioning. So how can he get realization? So therefore Paramatma comes as the super soul. He acts as a jiva, and he reveals to him, because the living entity can't have a revelation because his mind stopped functioning and his intelligence has stopped because he's withdrawn all in his body. So therefore only Paramatma can do it. So when the Lord is pleased, and the Paramatma enters the jiva, or as a jiva, and then he reveals to the jiva his form as Paramatma. So he sees the self by the self. So it's the Paramatma in the form of Paramatma. He sees the self. He sees the Paramatma. So, but when he sees that, there is no greater gain. He sees the Supreme Lord. There is nothing more else to be attained. There is no greater gain. And Dhruva Maharaj, same thing. I was looking for some pieces of broken glass in the big empire. I was searching for some pieces of broken glass. I found a very valuable diamond. So don't delude me, my Lord. Don't offer me. I don't want the kingdom. I don't want... Now I have seen you, there's nothing else I want. Fully satisfied, Prabhupada. Nothing else to be attained. Nothing else to be gained. So, for the jnanis, they attain Brahman, there's nothing else to be gained. They're seeing the Lord face to face in his form as Brahman, the effulgence. And for them, that's seeing the Lord face to face. So they're fully satisfied, there's nothing else. Krishna's speaking about that. Nothing else to gain, they're fully satisfied. The yogis, they're seeing face to face the Lord Paramatma, they're fully satisfied. The bhaktas, they see the form of Krishna, they see him face to face. They're also fully satisfied. Nothing else to be attained. So, yeah, see the Lord face to face. Akrura. Akrura, he went. Took his bath in the Jamuna. So Krishna Balaram took their bath there. Akura went to take his bath after. They came back. He was sitting on the chariot. The Prabhu went to take his bath, and he said, "Was Krishna and Balarama sitting in the Jamuna? I thought they were sitting on the, they took their bath, they're sitting on the chariot. Maybe I made a mistake. Let me go back and check." So he went back. Krishna and Balarama were sitting on the chariot. Must be an illusion. So he went back to take his bath. Again, he saw Krishna and Balarama in the water. This time, Krishna became Vishnu. And Balarama became Anantashesh. So Vishnu was lying on Anantashesh, relaxing, surrounded by all of his associates. Our crew was astonished. We offered many nice prayers. After that, he went back. Krishna Balaram was sitting on the chariot again. So they were smiling. "You've seen something wonderful in the water or on the land, Akura?" And he said, "My Lord, when I see you, what wonderful thing have I not seen? Because you are the source of everything. Everything wonderful, Krishna is the source of it. Everything comes from you. So when I see you, what a wonderful thing is there left for me to see?" Fully satisfied. He saw our guru. So this is the... that satisfaction we are searching for. This is the ultimate satisfaction we are searching for. To love and be loved. So when we find out the greatest object of love, please satisfaction. Nothing else to be achieved. No? So, yeah. So this is Krishna consciousness. Prempumata pumam. The highest goal of life, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. To come to the point of loving God. Fully satisfied. We have many loving relationships in the material world, but they're not fully satisfying. We may think so for a little short while, but ultimately we are separated. I die, you die. Our love is gone. But when we meet Krishna, then it's never finished, because Krishna never dies. And the jiva never dies. So this is what the whole world is seeking, to find out, revive our dormant love for Krishna. And it was Prabhupada, the only one who gave us this information. No one else gave this information. Yet this is what the living entity needs more than anything. This is what he is searching for. This is the purpose of life. No one comes to this conclusion like Prabhupada. We know that Christians say the love of God is what is your first and greatest commandment? One should love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. We know that. But who God is and how to love him, they don't know. Our Prabhupada gave us that information. Who God is, how you can love him. Here is the science of bhakti. That nobody gave. When one realizes God and sees the Lord face to face, one certainly thinks that he has gained the best of all things. Vraso piyasha param drisva vivartate. When one experiences a higher taste, his consciousness is fixed. After seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one ceases to be attracted by anything material. One then remains steady in the worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram. So here is, Prabhupada is pointing out, as in every page, bringing us to Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Practically. Prabhupada said, no one can refute what I am saying, or alter or twist what I'm trying to say. He said, because on every page of my books, I put Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's not just on one or two pages, and some people in the future, some scholars may, well, it doesn't actually mean this, it means this. Prabhupada said, nobody can change it. I put it practically on every page, how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when one understands this, one becomes happy, isn't it? Isn't that why you join Krishna consciousness? Because you understand Krishna is the Supreme Personality, it made you happy? Satisfied, just simply by knowing it. Now we're practicing that realization of that. I immediately accepted Krishna consciousness when I heard that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. With all arguments and reasons why he, in Prabhupada's books. But I was immediately convinced. And I became very, very happy. And I thought, my search is over now. So, there's a nice verse in the in 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita about the Kshara and the Yakshara, the what is it? Akshara, Akshara, the limited, the unlimited. Huh? Fallible and infallible, thank you. You get the fallible and the infallible. Krishna speaks of the fallible and the infallible. Shara Akshara. In this material world, every living entity is fallible. We're subject to birth and death. In the spiritual world, everybody is infallible. There is no birth, no death, they're infallible. So we get two classes of jivas. We're Brahman, aham brahmasmi. The liberated soul is also Brahman. So, but there's two classes of Brahman. You get the fallible. We are the fallible. Now we're entrapped in the material world, entrapped in the material body. We're called fallible. But still we are Brahman. We get the fallible and the infallible. Those are liberated. They're not conditions. Not conditioned. Two classes of living entities. Besides this, there is that Supreme Lord who has entered into the worlds. And he maintains all the worlds. This is Paramatma. So it's another classification of Brahman. There's the conditioned Brahman, there's a liberated Brahman, and there's the Parabrahman, or the Paramatma. But then Krishna says, but because I am beyond both the fallible, both the conditioned soul, and the liberated soul, and the Paramatma, and all those other incarnations of the Lord, therefore I am known as Purushottam. Krishna is a little bit proud when he says that. Therefore I am celebrated in this world as Purushottam, the greatest of all living entities. That is Krishna. He is superior even than the Paramatma, even than all the other incarnations. This is the Krishna that Prabhupada has given us. So that I always remember that, that really convinced me about Krishna consciousness. That was fallible. Fallible and infallible. You can understand. Of course, I was influenced by Mayavad philosophy. The Prabhupada says most people are. In the beginning, it's a leaning to Mayavad philosophy. It's expected. Fallible and infallible. You get two classes of jiva. You can get the eternal and the liberated. You can comprehend that. But then Krishna says, no, there's another one also. There's another one beyond that. There's this Paramatma. So how can that be three? You can understand this. We have the duality of this material world. We have spirit and matter. Living entities are caught up in matter. But then he becomes free like a liberated soul. So we admit there is duality in this world, but we go beyond that. But then Krishna says, beyond that, there's something else also. And that is the Paramatma. So Maivadis can't understand this. That there's something. How can you have two Brahmans? They say, how you can have a big sky and a small sky? How can you have... Already they can't understand that. That there's three. There's a liberated Brahman, there's a conditioned Brahman, and then there's the Parabrahman. So it's a big puzzle for them, for the Mayavadis. But then Krishna says, I'm even beyond the Paramatma. So then it becomes four. You're dealing with four. But the Acharyas don't comment on it so much because, see, already the Maya fighters are completely bewildered with three. They can't comprehend. If they reveal as another one, the Maya fighters are going to faint out of frustration. But anyway, it's very important. It's called the Trishloki Gita in Bhagavad Gita because it clarifies the actual position of the Supreme Person of Godhead, beyond doubt. So that is Krishna. Krishna is beyond matter, Krishna is beyond spirit. We say Krishna is spirit, but spirit is Krishna's energy. He's beyond spirit. So therefore no one can ever know fully Krishna or approach him fully. He's beyond spirit, he's beyond matter, he's beyond spirit. So therefore he is the Purushottam, the greatest of all persons. So Krishna likes that name. He says, I am Purushottam. Very nice name. I am greater than all the others. You name them, I'm greater. Purushottam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanandi. Thank you. Any comment, question? Yashoda Dula Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, thank you, Chinnanivas. You mentioned that the yogis feel fully satisfied. And the impersonalists feel fully satisfied. What is it that turns them towards coming back to this world? What is the actual turning feature which makes them look for something beyond that, to find Bhagavan? What is that? Can you explain that? What is it makes them long for something more? They have to fall from that position and come again to this world until they find service to Krishna. What is that something that makes them feel dissatisfied?
That something is a feeling. That's what can turn them. I can't quote where it's from. I've forgotten. I've been trying to find it for a long, long time. But it's describing. I thought I read it in with Mahaprabhu's conversation with Prakashananda Saraswati or someone else, but I can't find it at all. But anyway, whoever it was, they were preaching to the Mayavadis, and they started to describe about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then the chief of the Mayavadis said, actually what you're saying is correct, it makes sense. He said, because of all the Mayavadis, some of us are actually self-realized. A few of us actually have realized Brahman. And in that state of Brahman realization, we feel perfectly content. There's nothing more to be known. We're fully satisfied. That is the nature of Brahman. And we are Brahman. When we're feeling that complete satisfaction, this somewhere there's a feeling, there's something more. It's just a feeling, there's something more. Of course, we know that we are eternal servant of Krishna, that is what it's... But their philosophy denies anything else, the followers of Shankaracharya. If there's no there's nothing beyond Brahman, there's no duality. So how can... So they say, it's a feeling that we have, even though we're self-realized, fully satisfied, there's a feeling, there's something else. But their philosophy denies anything else. So they're just, okay. It's just a feeling, but when they meet a pure devotee, then he can actually tell them what it is, that feeling, is that you are a servant of Krishna. Krishna is a person, you have a loving relationship. That is what is missing, you're lacking. So then they became converted. They said, it's true. The non-realized Mayavadis, they won't be able to accept it because they're not getting that feeling. So they're just stuck with their philosophy. No, there's only Brahman and nothing else. So they won't go beyond that. They won't become convinced because they've got all the works of Shankaracharya and Mayavada philosophy to back them up. They'll be just fixed in philosophy. But those who are actually self-realized, they have a feeling because they're feeling spirit. So they can get that feeling that it's something else. But they can't put their finger on it. And Mahaprabhu explained it, then they accepted, they all joined him. I think it was Mahaprabhu, I can't remember. But anyway, that was the idea that he was preaching to someone was preaching to the Mayavadis. Yeah, and ultimately as you say, they come down from that position to open hospitals and do some philanthropic work or something. So there must have been something there for them to leave from it. Hare Krishna.
I was wondering if you would entertain a question from the last chapter. Is that okay? Because just the way the classes went, I had a few questions at the end of the last chapter about Maharaj Agnidra, and I was never able to ask them because, you know, just the way the schedule went and how people didn't take questions at the end of the classes. So the question I have is, Maharaj Agnidra, at the very end of the last chapter, it's described that he went back to Purvachitti in the Prithvi Loka planet. He went to the planet where his ex-wife or his wife lived. So it never says in that chapter, and it says he went to associate with her. So there's kind of an assumption. It never says in that chapter whether he got a woman form in his next life to associate with him, or whether he got a man form in the next life to associate with her. And we know that in the story of King Puranjana, Puranjana got a woman's body in his last life because he was meditating on his wife at the point of death. And we also know in the teachings of Kapila Dev that it says that if you think of your wife or a woman at a time of death, you get a woman's body. So my question is did Maharaj Agnidra, number one, did he go back to his wife and got her association as her husband, like he did in this birth? And then that begs the question, can married couples in this material world, can they go to where each other are after death and remain married birth after birth after birth after birth? For example, in our marriage ceremonies, they circumambulate the fire 7 times. And that's indicating that they're making a vow to be together for seven births. So my question is that a reality? Is that a ritual? Or are they actually going to be together for seven births? So these are the questions I had at the end of the last chapter, and I just never got a chance to ask them.
He went to Pitriloka, which is a heavenly planet. It's a subtle heavenly planet. But she was one of Brahma. Purvachiti was one of Brahma's apsaras.
That's correct.
From Brahmaloka.
And she was she was living in Pitriloka.
Pitriloka.
Even though she went back to her worship of Lord Brahma, I don't know how, she was living in Pitriloka, and it says that he went to associate with her. But it doesn't say whether he took birth as a female or a male. And that's the question.
Oh, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in that pastime of Radhyatra with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Krishna is speaking to the gopis, that Mahaprabhu was revealing that when they're pulling the rattan, the conversation going on between Krishna and the gopis. And there Krishna says that it is said, he was talking about the loving relationships, that it is said that if one you love someone so much and then you hear of their death, his or her death, he said, then surely that person will die also very, very soon. They will also die. And they will meet again. Certainly they will meet again to continue that relationship. So it appears in that case, they still... It didn't say man or woman, but it seemed to say they meet again as husband, the same husband and the same wife. They meet again without delay, Krishna said. It didn't actually say that they kept the same bodies.
What's the difference that if Paranjana went and he was thinking of his wife at the time of death, he got a woman's body? And Kapila said, Dave says, what is the difference? Is it piety that Maharaj Agnidra was just so pious that he could transfer to the planet where his wife is after death and still remain in the exact same relationship with her, and the other people were impious, and so therefore they changed into a woman? What's the difference between the two situations? That's what I'm wondering. I'm not trying to stump you. I'm just saying.
No, I can't really answer the detailed questions. No, I can't really give you an answer for that. I read Vishwanath Chakravarti's comment. He didn't comment on it either. I was looking for that.
What did Vishwanath Chakravarti say at the end of that chapter?
I can't remember. He just mentions the same thing, more or less, that they go back to Pritchiloka.
As husband and wife?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Hare Krishna. Anything else? Ekal? Okay. Krishna Prabhu.
You gave an example of the sun, how people see the sun in a different level. That God is one. Different, the same God in a different situation according to how we are situated in spiritual life. If God is one and everybody worship Him in different name, different form, why do we preach that devotional service is superior to other faiths?
Why?
Do we preach that devotional service is superior to other denominational faiths? That Krishna consciousness is the best than Muslim or Christianity or traditional culture and belief? Could they also have God in their own level of worship? Let me give an example of the sun. Somebody sees sun differently, the same sun reflect in the water in different ways. So if one can see sun differently, means people also worship the same God in a different way. So why are we preaching to convert people from other faith to be a devotee? Why not we just leave them to worship God the way they choose, the way they want to worship God, because God is one.
Okay, yeah. No, there's nothing wrong with that. When Prabhupada went to America, he was preaching Krishna consciousness, and the reporter said to him, what have you come to... Prabhupada said, I've come to teach a couple of times. One time he said, I've come to teach what you have forgotten. And they said, what's that? He said, how to love God. And another time, Prabhupada said that the Christians, priests were questioning Prabhupada, and they said, so what are you preaching? He said, we're preaching to love God. To love God. And they said, well, we're Christians, we're also practicing, we're also doing this, we're loving God. And then Prabhupada said, then I have nothing to say to you. If you have love for God, I have nothing to say for you. This is what we're preaching. If you've got it, that's great. If your religion is giving it, that's great. So that was Prabhupada's answer. I could love you, Prabhupada.
हरे कृष्ण प्रभु प्रभु भगवद गीता कृष्ण सेज जन्म कर्म समय दिव्यम एवं जोबेति तत्वता सो वन हु नोज माय जन्म बर्थ एंड एक्टिविटीज इन ट्रूथ सो आई वांट टू नो कैन यू डिफाइन ट्रूथ तत्वता बिकॉज इन भगवद गीता यू सॉ कृष्ण इज सेइंग आई एम अज अनबॉर्न द सेम टाइम इज टेकिंग बर्थ एज द सन ऑफ नंद यशोदा. So it looks like contradiction. So how can we define the tattvata? Is it taking bath or not taking bath?
Yes. Just before he says janma karma chami divyam, he said one who understands, he spoke of his transcendental nature. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and disappearance. Just previous to that, Krishna spoke of his transcendental nature. He said, when I appear here in my original transcendental form, it's not an ordinary form, it's a transcendental form, which is unborn, but still I can appear in that unborn form as Krishna. Prabhupada says, so if you know that much about Krishna, when Krishna appeared here, he didn't appear like an ordinary person. He appeared as in this transcendental energy. Prabhupada, simply you know that much. If you can remember Krishna at the time of death and think, well, when Krishna came here, he had a spiritual body. He didn't have. That's sufficient to go back to Godhead. Because Krishna says, one who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities. So just one thing about Krishna, he can come back to me. So Prabhupada said, you simply know this one thing that Krishna has just said. My appearance is that when I appear here, I do so in my transcendental Satchitananda Vigraha form. It's not a material form. So that's sufficient to take you back home, back to Godhead. To remember Krishna, when he appears here, he didn't have material body. You won't have to take birth.
Hare Krishna, thank you for your enlightening class, Prabhu. Just one small comment to add to the discussion that Gita Nagari Prabhu brought up. Can a wife and husband be together in the next life?
Around the fire seven times. So maybe if they had performed next life. Does one become the husband in one life and the wife in the next life, and then the wife in the next life and the husband in the next life? Do they switch roles, or is it always the same role? That's another question I would have. If it's true that people become husband and wife birth after birth, or seven births, I don't know if it's one way or the other, or if they switch roles, or how does it work? It's a good question.
Yeah, the usual answer Prabhupada gave was that if you're thinking of a woman, you'll become a woman. If the woman is thinking of a man, she'll become a man. That's usual. We're dealing with extraordinary personalities here. You know, who happen to get in the slot in the Bhagavatam, they're not ordinary persons. You know, Purva Chittisis, Brahmas up in Brahmaloka, the king. So they're kind of more special personalities here. But generally ordinary people.
Prabhu.
Yeah, therefore Prabhupada said better to go back home this lifetime. Don't bother to come back.
Personally, I don't believe that. Devotional service supersedes every ritual.
What?
Devotional service, sadhana bhakti, supersedes every ritual or ceremony. If going through a fire seven times means a devotee is not going back to Godhead, it means the fire is superior to devotional service. So how can a devotee take birth seven times simply because of a little fire of compilation? What happens to their spiritual life? And the guru gave initiation. How can a disciple stay seven times because of a marriage? I don't believe that.
But you do it anyway, not you, but the grihasthas, to set an example. But our goal should be to go back to Godhead. That's what Prabhupada wanted. But when you're doing things like samskars and things like that we have to do, this is social life, we have to do these things, then we do them according to the rules and regulations. Not necessary that we are obligated. We're not performing karma kanda, we're performing devotional service. But this is the way to, we've got to get married somehow or another, there's got to be some ritual. So we adopt the Vedic ritualistic process. But our goal is to go back, it's not to be hung up on ritualistic activity. Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
As someone who has participated in that seven times round the fire, I just like to give my opinion, as that is, the whole idea is to give the husband and the wife, especially the wife, the feeling that this is forever. Because relationship of marriage, it can break up at any time, and it's a great waste. So there's a lot of ritual, there's a lot of solemnity, and this seven times, it's a big thing to undertake this ritual in front of all the people. The fire, there are so many witnesses, and seen and unseen witnesses at the fire jagna. And most of the rituals are based around the woman, putting various ornaments on, tying up the cloth, and so on. And it's really for the purpose of establishing something very solid just in this life. I don't know what happens in the next life. Nobody can tell. I mean, who can say authoritatively what happens? But the whole idea is at least make this marriage solid. Let it be fixed. So by the end of the marriage, it takes about 3 hours to do. One is completely, one's intelligence is completely fixed now on a permanent relationship. You know, that's what I found from the marriage ceremony. That's my 2 cents.
That's very good, because it'll keep it more stable then. If you think I got to spend another 7 births with this husband or wife, I better maybe be a little peaceful, I think, now. I got another 7, 6 coming. I should start to make it a bit peaceful, otherwise we're fighting like cats and dogs for the next 7 births. So it may make you more peaceful and respectful to each other. It's a good thing. It'll keep them fixed, more steady. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you.